I want to talk and take a look today at a conversation between Moses and God and unpack some of the implications. Moses, of course, was a friend of God and would speak with God face to face. Now, how many of you know right there out of the gate, that's a remarkable thing? Because on one hand, the Bible says no one can see God and live. In other words, you can't truly see God and live unto yourself in one regards. So you think, is that figurative? I think it has to be somewhat. I think God let him come in close proximity, because I think you look upon the face of God and the state we're in now, we die. But there was a friendship there, and he would speak as a friend face to face, which is remarkable. God did not relate with Moses in riddles. He was not parabolic in his communication to Moses, because Moses was a friend. So God did not shroud himself in mystery. He came right out with it, just like a friend would speak to a friend. How many of you know when you're speaking to a friend, you don't have to qualify every statement? You don't have to walk on it. You can just kind of come out with it. And then, you know, if you're a little bit, you know, over the top, they'll reel it back in and go, well, you know, I may want to check that, you know, that thought, that sentiment, that attitude, whatever. But you can let your hair down, as it were, with your friends. And so God spoke straight up with his servant Moses. And as you know, Moses would pitch his tent outside the camp some distance, calling it what? The tent of meeting. And when he would go into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and descend upon that tent. That's a holy cup of coffee right there. And so he would relate with his servant. And so that phrase, the tent of meeting, it speaks for itself that among other places, that's where Moses met with God. It was a meeting. I mean, how amazing is that? There have been times on occasion where I'll be in prayer and someone will call and I'll go, can I get right back with them in a meeting? You know, and it's true. You are in a meeting when you're relating with God. And I think it's good to kind of put it on the schedule. You know, I'm not able to do that on Wednesday afternoon at this time because I've got a meeting. Yeah, you've got a scheduled meeting to connect with the Lord and to meet with him. So anyway, this conversation, eavesdropping for a moment on one of these interactions between Moses and God. Let's go to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, we'll jump in verse 12. It reads, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me. Now there's that conversation revealed right from the get-go. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Now, of course, further in the conversation, God discloses that my presence will go with you. But he says, you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Do we realize that's no small thing? That's a big deal. So here's today's focus. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Verse 13, that's the kicker here for us this morning. God made it known clearly to Moses that he had found favor with God. Now, can you imagine a pronouncement like that being declared over your life? You have found favor with me. Mary received such a pronouncement. There are others that have received that kind of pronouncement. Maybe you received a prophetic word and things were spoken over you concerning the heart of God, and you're scratching your head like, really? God would think that way about me in such affectionate terms? And we can be somewhat blown away. I'm sure today in the baptisms, there'll be great prophetic prayers and some words that'll be given just revealing the heart of God over his children, that God loves his own. And God loved his servant Moses here. And he made it known clearly, Moses, you have found favor with me. And again, when he is in these tent of meeting context, there was a lot that God had communicated to his servant. I mean, what that does for a person. I mean, wow, wow, wow. It cuts through all the smoke, the lies, the wonderment, the accusations, the questions of identity, esteem, et cetera, et cetera. There is just something unique and special when you know you've heard from your Father that either well done, or I love you, or I'm for you. And of course, this Bible's full of this. If I'm for you, who can be against you? Nothing can separate you from my love. And we get in this love letter and we begin to get our heart healed and our lives put together and well. And God decrees over us his affectionate intention and his heart over us. And it heals us. And we find wholeness in these letters that are written to us. And sometimes when we're out of whack is simply because we've not looked back up to these declarations that are freely there for the church and for the believer. But as the friend of God, Moses would have these frequent face-to-face friendship moments. And again, there was favor. How do we know that he had favor with God? Because God, his friend, told him. Moses, what do you mean you got favor with God? How do you know that? He told me. In other words, that's the way we relate. I was with him just a few moments ago. He told me. I just out of nowhere, I didn't create it. He communicated his favor that I've, he looks and views me in that way. So building off that settled truth of favor that came straight from the mouth of God, building off of that, Moses asked, if you are pleased with me, in other words, if then you are pleased with me as you say. Now, again, let's just stop there. How many know sometimes in Scripture you can only go a couple words like, we can't pass go. We're going to have to milk this a little bit and massage this a bit. But let's stop for just a moment and think about this, being pleasing to God. So Moses is building off this concept, this idea. If I'm pleasing to you, which blows my mind, if that's real, if you are pleased with me, we're so connected to what we're not. God's connected to what we are in Christ. Hello? It's good to know who we are outside of God, but it's important to know who we are in him. So he's thinking, being pleasing to God. So again, you think of that idea and concept. What in the world could eclipse that? What could be greater than that? I don't know about you, but to me, that is ultimate. That's the ultimate. I mean, the Apostle Paul sure thought so. He went so far to unequivocally say and declare, we make it our goal to please God. We make it our what? Our goal. There was passion. There was drive. There was intentionality. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, let's even read that in the Amplified. It says, therefore, whether we are home on earth or away from home, whether we are home on earth or away from home and with him, it is our what? Constant ambition to what? Be pleasing to him. Whether I'm here, whether he takes me onto the house, whether I've got my hands dirty in mission, whether I'm mending nets sewing tents rather, whether I'm meeting the needs of those I'm ministering to, whether I'm declaring the gospel, whether I'm being beaten and persecuted in whatever context, whether I'm here, whether I'm there, it is my constant ambition. Oh, to be pleasing to him. And oh, to think that on that day, that declaration could be spoken, that I was pleasing to him. Not just that I did some of the works of God, but I pleased him. How awesome. How I can think of no higher ambition, the greatest declaration God could make over us on that day, I think, is that we're pleasing to him. And yes, it's important to do the things we're asked to do, but there's something beyond the works. I find myself praying often, God help me and grant me the testimony of being pleasing to you. Again, to me, that's ultimate. Well, Moses had that. Our man Moses, Mo. I mean, to tell you what, he's got a good commendation from the king, does he not? I mean, he had that. He received that hallowed pronouncement. When? When did he do that? What then did he do with that? Well, when he received it, he built off of it to make a request. He received it, he built. That was a springboard for something else. He built off of it. Having secured that testimony, he makes a request. And to me, it's a staggering request. Now remember, he has favor with God, for God told him so. So Moses says, if you are pleased with me, what? Teach me your ways. Now that's interesting to me. In other words, okay, I have favor with you. Okay, I'm pleasing to you. If that's real, God, teach me your ways. I would wonder in that moment, what would we do if you're in one of these hallowed moments and God has communicated, I'm putting my favor on you. You are pleasing to me. And if you wanted to build off of that, I'm curious, what would we say or what might we pray? We might say, God, if you're pleased with me, save my family member. How many of you know that's legit? God wants our family saved. He wants our friends saved. God, if you were pleased with me, heal this affliction that's just been a torment. It's been a thorn in my flesh. Just deal with this. Take it away. Or we might say, God, if it's true that you're pleased with me, then give me a greater anointing. I mean, even though that's a good prayer request. God, if you're truly pleased with me, help me win the lottery. How many of you know that somebody's going to win it? Amen. What is it up to now? I think it's like 1.6 billion. And people are always saying, yeah, but they cut it in half. It's look, you'll be just fine with 500 million. You'll be okay. Don't worry about it. You know, go ahead and pay the taxes, pay whatever you gotta. And that's all good and well. But if we were in Moses' shoes, what would we ask for? Knowing we have his favor and that we're pleasing to him, what would we ask for? What would we ask for? What would we ask for? This request so reveals the Moses we know and love. It's really precious because it just reveals something about the nature and the character of Moses and of all the things he could have asked for. He wanted to know God's ways. He was in a moment of favor. It's like the king's scepter was extended to him. There was a lot he could have done with that. But he took that favor. He took that favor chip. He took that favor collateral. And he cashed it in to know God better. That's amazing. Lord, I have favor with you. Really? Well, then I want more favor. I'm pleasing to you. Really? Well, then help me to be pleasing to you. You're thinking that's cyclical, Mo. You could have had a moment. I mean, dear me, all the things that were at your fingertips. But oh, again, it's so revealing about him. Listen again, verse 13, chapter 33. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. Why? Why? So I may know you and continue to find favor with you. In other words, God was enough. In other words, God satisfied. That was the only inheritance of the Levites. It's like, all right, what's in the equation? What's the reward? What's the inheritance? God. He was enough for Moses. Listen, Moses' response reveals to me how well he already knew God. Hello? This response to me, it reveals how well he already knew him. His request reveals his character, his hunger, his passion, deep love for God. Moses didn't hesitate with a long, kind of considering what are my options. I mean, think about it. Moses' first reaction upon learning he had favor with the Lord was the desire and request to know more fully God and His ways. Not his third reaction, not his fourth reaction, not his fifth reaction, his first reaction. He instantly wanted to know God more. What if God told us we could have anything we asked for? Would God Himself be at the top of the list? Would we beseech God for more of God? You know, it's an interesting thing about God. And I know there are certain cliches about, you know, you can't outgive God. It's more than a cliche. That's real. That is real. Ask any giver. Ask anyone that's extravagant toward God, you see. But if we seek the face of God, we automatically get His hand. But if we merely seek His hand, and that's part, I mean, there's a context for that, to ask, seek, and knock. But if we merely seek His hand, which is okay, that's biblical, we may not always get His face. But there are benefits, there are side benefits to going after God's face. With His face comes His hand. It's like, I want your hand. I do want it. But superior to that is your face. And there have been times in prayer where it's like, I've got a whole list, but after worshiping God for a few moments, like, I don't even want to go through the list. Everything's fine. Everything. I am just loving you. And I just have a no in my heart. It's all fine. I was so in the vertical, it's fine. And again, the hand of God is there for a reason, but we can get it as we go after His face. We get what we ask for. What do we want? Moses wanted more of God. How do we think that made God feel? If you are pleased with me, help me to please you more. Israel, as we know, knew the hand of God. They saw with their very eyes the mighty deliverances, not just a little, boop, oh, that was a nice little deliverance. You know, throw some days. I mean, when He opens a sea and a whole nation goes through, and then here comes the enemy harassing, chasing, and then swallows them up, and they come out free on the other side. No wonder Miriam and the other, they picked up that tambourine and cut a jig right then and there. I mean, they watched this with their own eyes. That was the hand of God. That was the bicep of our God. The acts of God. Yay, thank you for the acts of God. But it's not a guarantee that in and of itself can hold us for a lifetime in God if we're not committed to His face. I mean, people observe and watch things come and go all the time, and they can be cavalier and indifferent about it. You're like, did you just see what happened? We just prayed for them, and God just healed them on the spot. And then you go straight from that to go out and whatever. You fill in the blank. And so it's not an automatic guarantee, but Israel, they knew the hand of God. They saw with their eyes the mighty deliverances of God. They saw and observed the miracles of God. They beheld the provision of God. I mean, can you imagine a whole generation, your clothes never wearing out, you know, raining manna down from heaven, blowing quail into the camp, routing enemies. I mean, they just watched it. They'd watched that pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud. I mean, can you imagine just kind of getting used to that? What is that? Pillar of fire. What are they doing over there? Oh, it's just water coming out of a rock. What's that in your teeth, huh? Quail, why do you ask? Complaining the whole way, of course. Unbelief on steroids. But His hand was all over the camp. The hand of God, there's the hand of God, there's the hand of God, there's the hand of God. The hand of God is everywhere. Dear me, has God moved. Just look at creation. Wow. We ought to prostrate ourselves. When we consider what God has done and we keep record and we record the deeds of the Lord, it produces gratefulness and thankfulness, you see. Israel knew the acts of God, but they didn't know the ways of God. The Scriptures clearly make the distinction. It doesn't have to be either or. Psalm 103:7. Says that God made known His what? His ways to whom? To Moses. His deeds are his acts to the people of Israel. Why the distinction? Why the distinction? Because God has a way about himself. God has a way about him. Do you realize that you have a way about you? There's a way about you and I. Those who know you best know your ways. Hello? And all the husbands and wives said, and all the siblings said, and all the roommates said. People know your ways. Those you're close with, they know what movies you like. They know what food you like. They know what clothes you like. They know your sayings. They even can finish your sentences. You are somewhat predictable to them. Why? Because they read something about you somewhere? No, but because of much time spent with you over time. You know, sometimes my girls will walk around and I'll hear them go, THM, THM. And then I finally figured it out. That's code for total Herb move. My first name is Herbert Taylor Stewart. I'm called by my middle name. You call me by my middle name. And thank God my mom didn't, my dad didn't call me Herbert. I thought, man, I'd have to fight more than I did, you know, anyway. But sometimes they'll see and they'll go, THM. You know, and they'll wink. It'll be something like there'll be a cake and there'll be a piece and only the icing was cut off. And there's this loaf of just cake. THM. He's at it again. Oh, they know my ways. What do you do? We can read about God. That's good. But we must spend time at the tent of meeting with God. That experiential knowledge of God himself is indispensable if we want to know his ways and not merely his acts. Although I love the acts of God, love it, bring it. Moses was unique among the people. He went up the mountain. They stayed at the bottom. Moses went into the tent of meeting while the inquirers would stay outside. Moses was different from Israel. But they could have been like him if they had wanted to. And there were many of the company of Israel that were. The Joshuas, the Calebs, there were many that were of that spirit. But of course there were many that were not. About wayward Israel, God said in Psalm 95:10, "For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said they are a people whose hearts go astray and they have not known my what? My way." God's got a way about him. He's got a way about him. Deuteronomy 8:6 exhorts, "Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him." God wants us to know and understand and experience these for ourselves. Joshua 22:5, "But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways." To know him is to know his ways. Is he predictable? Yes, generally. Is there a rhythm to the Lord? Yes, there is. Is there a way about him? Yes. Is he recognizable? Yes. Remember in Isaiah 55, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, for as high as the heavens are above the earth." We know that text. But really, it could be a bit of a reproof of, "My thoughts should be your thoughts. My ways should be your ways. You can know my ways." But who knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God? But we have the mind of Christ. Hello? We can know the thoughts of God. At minimum here, the general, the main and the plain, before we even get into more specific things as instruction to our lives. Time spent with him will open up his ways to us. Dr. R.T. Kendall, you know, he's one of my favorite ministers, who was 25 years pastoring Westminster Chapel in London, England. But he thought he knew well Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I don't know if you're familiar with him, an amazing minister, great writings, great theologian. He thought he knew him well due to reading many of his books. But then Dr. Kendall received the privilege of 2 hours every Thursday being able to meet with him at his home the last 4 years of his life. And he said the books were good, but it wasn't the same as being with them. And again, it's not either or, but there's something different. He got to know on those Thursday afternoons his likes and his dislikes. He got to know how he would react to this or that. Dr. Kendall said he reached the place that he instinctively knew what he would say about a person or a certain passage of Scripture. He knew him well enough. He knew his interpretation, how he would unpack that. Or he knew how he would respond about a certain practice in the church, et cetera, et cetera. He got to know his mind. He got in his mind. He got to know his ways. Same with God. Same with God. Because Moses knew God, he wanted to know God. You are pleased with me? Great. Show me your glory. You know, God did things for Moses just because he was pleased with him. Just because he was Moses. He'll do things for you just because it's you. Who's asking? Oh, my son. Who's asking? Oh, my daughter. Well, of course. Well, of course. Moses asked, let your presence go with us. God said, okay. We're so ready for God to say no. No, okay. Moses asked, show me your glory. God said, okay. I mean, I'm going to hide you and wait until my backside goes by because I don't want you to die. But I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you. Show me your glory. And sometimes we think it's just a petition. What if God calls our bluff? He called our bluff on the mission field. Lord, we want to see revival. And all of a sudden he turned the light switch on. Like, here. We're like, what is this? He said, you asked. You're right. Show me your glory. Okay. We can be bold. We can be bombastic. When we know we're pleasing to him. You see, friends talk, don't they? Friends talk. Yeah, sure. Friends make requests. Listen, God actually enjoys accommodating to us. Friends just do that. God enjoys accommodating to us as we're pleasing to him. You think this is a silly request, not to a friend. I mean, you know, a stranger, you can't ask but for so much. But a friend and a good friend, we can even afford to get picky. We've all been in a dentist seat before and you had a cavity, and they do the filling, and then they tell you to do the tap, 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 to make sure your teeth are flush or it doesn't feel like a boulder's in there, to make sure the bite. And I'll be in my dentist chair and they put a little paper in there, like the ink, whatever it is, to show where it's not completely flush. And I go, all right, do it for me again. Tap, tap, tap. And then he'll file down a little bit. Tap, tap, tap. And then he's reading my mind. And he said, Taylor, be picky. And I said, file it a little more because it's not quite flush. God's like that. Friends can do that. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. Church, this is for us. What Moses had, we can have. We choose to be a friend of the Lord. But I just love his attitude and his spirit. I found favor with you. Wow. You're pleased with me? Amazing. Then teach me your ways. That blows me away. Of all the things he could have petitioned for. I want to know you more. Teach me your ways. Father, we thank you for your examples in Scripture. Lord, Moses was fully human. Lord, we're aware of that. But yet, Lord, over time, y'all became dear friends. Lord, we know he had an issue with anger. Lord, that didn't stop you. Lord, he was fully human with his humanity. but you allowed a man to draw close. And Lord, you gave and extended your favor to him. And over the years of having hang time together, he could make unusual requests because of that context, that connection, that tent of meeting that was so looked for and longed after and looked forward to, that was his practice. Lord, that can be us. Lord, we just say this morning, as Moses did, teach me your ways. There's a way about you that's even predictable. Teach me, just in your own heart, just invite him to do that. Teach me your ways. I appreciate your acts, and continue to bring the acts. We need them. We want them. We also want to know intimately your ways, because we know your face.